Oh, once my dad's car broke down away out in the middle of nowhere, and I cried and cried. I thought we were going to starve. This evening they start a letter to my sister. He says he can never think of what to say, and she takes up the task as naturally as she always has. Installed at the dining room table with a pen and box of her blue trim paper, silent and glad, she easily fills a page with news, then tries to read out her words while he waits with his hands on the keys of the new computer. We still have a fire in the or of evening. The what? Evening. We did, didn't we, last night? No, it was boiling hot out. Oh. Is that a period after evening? I don't know. Should it be? What words come next? The dry sunflowers are covered in chickadees. In what? In chickadees, I guess. Should I type, I guess? I don't know. Watching me cut a pineapple, my father says, there's lots of cans of that in the cellar I should use. Swimming across murky mason jars, gray cans of salmon and split pea soup, the flashlight picks out a stack of tins with faded pineapple labels. I dust one off in the kitchen. The opener's bite lets out a spurt of metallic gas. Throw it all out, my father says glumly. Everything that's no good. Packed in notes and booklets make the cupboard drawer hard to open. Hours of small clear script, curled and spotted. Speech outlines on cut apart Christmas cards. How to be leaders, UCW, March 18, 1968. Cookbooks swollen with clippings. Canning safety. Bits of dry rubber bands. Oba's chocolate cake. Hawaiian chicken. Copied on slit open envelopes. Potato beet salad. Hedford picnic, July 14, 1958. Funny memories. Collar starch. Button hooks. Party lines. Things to be thankful for, UCW, November 23, 1961. Once, when she was out with a couple of girls later than usual, her father went uptown looking for her, dragged her home, and gave her a terrible beating. But he was worse than anyone when he was drinking. He played at the local dances, fiddled by ear, coronet by note, and by the time she was 10, she would go with him and play the piano. Once, there was a crowd over at the house, and they got drinking, and she took a few sips, she was just young, and climbed up on the cold stove, ha 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 ha, lay down on the cold stove and went to sleep. There were always boarders in the house, some straight from Germany, and boys chasing her around the place, tormenting her. Her brother danced and played hockey better than anyone when he was young, and when he was married, his son Jimmy was such a nice kid. He would pull my sister all around in a little wagon. He was only 12. And at a friend's house, an 8-year-old boy picked up a shotgun that was leaning behind a door, aimed it at Jimmy's face, said bang, and pulled the trigger. What was a loaded gun doing behind the door? There was never an inquiry. That's how it was in those days. After that, her brother just worked on the bottle return at the brewery. He could fix radios, but he never bothered with that. I round up oatmeal, flour, raisins. Where the Sam Hill did the cookie sheet get to? My father mutters, crouching in front of the cupboard by the fridge. My mother shuffles in, small and stooped in her drooping cardigan, pauses to root through the papers and scraps of old clothes on the desk by the window, turns back to the living room, opening the microwave as she goes, taking a raincoat from behind the door. Then she's back, rummaging through the rags again. What are you looking for? My father asks, clattering under the sink. My sweater, she says, good-natured, mystified. The blue one? Yes. You're wearing it, he says. Her face is lost for a second, then recovers with a laugh. Oh, so I am. Smiling, she lingers, opening and folding a cut-open undershirt. Once when I was young, there was a gang over playing and dancing, and I took a sip of whiskey, I guess it was, and climbed up on the stove and went to sleep. I ask about the empty mirror frame on the kitchen wall. My father glances at me and away, looking reluctant, caught, then speaks with odd formality, doggedly, against some current of shyness or disbelief or sorrow or fear. He says, while they were having lunch there at the table a few weeks ago, they heard a loud bang like a gunshot close by. He looked around and found the mirror down on the floor, its heavy glass split up the middle. You try to get that off of there, he points to the empty frame. A slotted hole in its back locks the frame tight to a round-headed screw set deep in a wall stud. I lift and slowly work it free, then press it back into place, centered, anchored, enclosed blank wall. There's no way that could have come off by itself, he says, bareheaded under low, dark cloud. Before they were married, she'd be behind the bakery counter tipping cakes this way and that on her left palm, icing them with a knife, and my father would burst through the jangling door with his big smile and blonde shock of hair, and out from the back room, all pin curls and twinkles, would waltz the owner's daughter, Melissa, who never spoke to my mother if she could help it, and never waited on customers. What can I do for you? She would coo, but he'd politely dodge around her, saying, oh, nothing, thanks, and head straight for my mother. Oh, that would make Melissa so mad. In faded coveralls and a cracked straw hat, she sits on a low stool on the sunny porch by the woodpile, breaking twigs into finger-length bits. My father brings her a cardboard box of small branches to work with. Her snapped twigs, meant for fireplace kindling, stand at her knee like a 2-foot-tall grackle's nest. My father suggests getting a plastic bag to put them in. No, you won't, she says, indignant. I don't have enough plastic bags for using for this. You've got tons of plastic bags, he says, factually, mildly teasing. The laundry room is now impassable because of the heaps of bags, newspapers, rags, basins, baskets of jars. She solemnly takes up another stick, studies it, and breaks a piece off, and he watches a while and turns away. I'd be behind the counter icing a cake, and Harold would open the door with a big smile. He had such blonde, wavy hair, and stride right past everyone to talk with me. Curled on the love seat, under a blanket, much of each day, sleeping or merely still, her open eyes traveling the room. She never grieves for herself, never stands apart, disowning or lamenting the ruin. But sometimes terrors sweep through her, weightless spinning and inner sleets, and she sits shaking, calling out that she's falling. And my father or I hold her, trying to save her from deep space. My dad's car broke down once, away out in the middle of nowhere, and I cried and cried. I thought we were going to starve. Well, I'll finish with two more pieces back on the limestone barrens. Location. I had a house here somewhere. One concrete corner post poured, I thought, on this lichen-covered, these ants flowing down into shadow in a grizzled cleft, a tuft of moss campion, shrill green while the sun fingers it. God, what time is it? I won't get back before dark. Did I park the car down here or up by the road? The sea slams and slams, and slams and slams and slams and slams and slams and slams its iron door. Best to be very small, no clothes to get caught on things. Baron's Willow. Dumb giant, I have no words to fit what I find on burnt cape. Joints of a sprawled octopus-sized tree, its roots, or are they branches meshed with a moss clump, meshed with a shrunken alder, or is it bearberry sharing various leaves? What looks like a driftwood stick, white, gnarled, I reach to touch, is hard as a porcelain handle bolted down, bone beads stuccoed into the somehow live grain. Leaf puddle tree, flush with the gravel it grows in, is the willow something the great gull of winter shat from the sky? A natural snake twisting up from a cold cleft into sun, opening a mouthful of leaves. It follows philosophy rather than habit, adopting any form to suit its needs, trunk prone or upright, limbs fountaining or burrowing. Everything wants, first of all, something to hook to, a father's songs, a sedum stem to catch a wind-blown seagull's breast feather. A larch needle halts in the feather's lee, lichen crumbs, moss dander sift in. A willow seed opens a trunk of its mother's letters.
Thank you.